Well, I promised at the start of the show that we would find, if we could, Steve Dawson and Jim Burns, as Steve has released an album called Rattlesnake Cage and is bringing that music to Alberta. And Jim Burns has released an album. What's it called, Steve?
It's called St. Louis Times.
Yeah, here we go. And it's called St. Louis Times, which is where James came from many years ago. And I've found one of the two. I found Steve Dawson. And if Jim Burns phones in, we'll include him in this because Steve Dawson produced that album. But one thing at a time. Hello, Steve. How do you like Nashville?
I love it. It's actually, it's fantastic. It's freezing here right now.
That's not right.
It's not right. No, everyone says it's the coldest winter they've ever been through here. So it's a bit of a surprise. I didn't really know that it would be like that. But all weather aside, it's a great town. It's a really exciting place to be and discover and be around a real music town for a change. Vancouver's getting harder and harder to be a city to be a functional artist in, and that's not really the case down here.
Colin, of course, from Bear Dickens, what am I talking about? Colin from Blackie and the Rodeo Kings also moved to Nashville. Now, is this the sort of thing, community, where you would be stumbling across each other, or is it usually like human interaction, you don't see each other?
No, I've seen Colin a few times. He's got a somewhat, when he's in town, he's got a somewhat regular gig down at a blues club in Printer's Alley downtown here in Nashville. He plays with a guy named Whitey Johnson, who I think he's brought up to Alberta a couple times.
Sure.
His actual name is Gary Nicholson. He's a really great songwriter. And so Colin does this thing with him every week at a blues club downtown. So I've seen Colin a few times there. And I see Canadian people all the time. There's sort of a little clique of Canadian guys. I'm going to a hockey game tomorrow night with somebody from Calgary. So I see lots of them. And I've been doing tons of work with Canadian artists, bringing them down here, starting to do that. And I've also been back to Canada 8 times in the 6 months that I've lived here now.
So, how do the Canadians stay in touch? Is there a website or is there a bar that they all have, a club?
not so much, but there are, like, on Canadian holidays, like Canadian Thanksgiving and stuff like that, there's some Canadian parties where that tends to happen. But also, I don't know, I've been doing a bit of playing with a guy from Winnipeg, and he's playing with a bunch of Canadian guys from all of Calgary and Edmonton and Toronto. And so, I was playing at a bar last night and met a girl from Montreal who's a songwriter who moved down a couple of years ago. So they're everywhere. They're crawling around out of the woodwork.
They're just breeding like rabbits. But by the time we get this on the air, Blackie and the Rodeo Kings will have sold out the Grand Ole Opry and played that stage. That's a landmark thing, I think, for any band.
It certainly is, yeah. It's quite an event. That Opry is really cool, and it's good to see them doing that because I don't think a lot of Canadians play there. There's a few Canadians that live down here that end up playing the Opry, but there's not a lot of Canadian content in the old Opry.
No, there's not. Now, I'm phoning you not so much about Nashville, and I am always interested in your life, but you've released an album called Rattlesnake Cage, which is all instrumental, all with all your guitars. And it sort of gives me the feeling, even though I don't know the answer to this question, that you've been waiting all your life to do this album.
Yeah, in a way I have, and in a way it's something that I never really meant to do or anticipated doing. I remember sort of trying to make an album like this maybe 10 years ago, and I just wasn't ready for it, or I just didn't feel confident enough to do it. And I remember kind of like getting a quarter of the way through it and then just kind of not finishing it. So this time it was kind of different. I've been surrounding myself by more and more real kind of old raw music that I really enjoy and really I respond to that kind of thing a lot more now than I did 10 years ago as well. And so, yeah, I just wanted to sit down in front of a microphone and play, and that's what I did. Originally, this album, I meant it to be, I was gonna sit down one day every month for a year, and each day that I put aside to do this project, I would write a piece of music and record it. But then once I started doing that, I just couldn't stop, so I kept going and going, and after a week, I had 15 or 16 songs written and recorded, and then I just whittled it down to what's left on the album, which is 11 songs.
This is Steve Dawson. He has a new album called Rattlesnake Cage. He also has produced the new Jim Burns album, and hopefully we'll find Jim before this half hour is done on Mulligan's 2CKUA. Steve, I had the timing is everything, and I had the opportunity in my broadcast life to actually program the first FM underground rock station in Vancouver that became CVox. And I remember in those early days, we would play whole sides of John Fahey and Leo Kottke and Mississippi John Hurt and Reverend Gary Davis. We music was music. We loved these artists, especially Fahey and Kottke. And so this is kind of a throwback to that music.
It sure is. I mean, that kind of stuff is, I'm really into that kind of stuff. Guitar music to me is funny because, like, I love it, obviously. Like, I'm a guitar player and, you know, I listen to all kinds of music that involves guitar, but I also listen to a lot of music that has nothing to do with the guitar. But, like, strict guitar music like this, for me, I really kind of stopped. I just don't have a lot of interest in it, after, like, 1971 or 72. Yeah. It kind of lost it to me. It became a lot about technique and a lot of really modern recording styles, where it just seemed like the whole point of an instrumental album was to make it seem larger than life or whatever. With this, what I wanted to do was just make it kind of old school like that and have a microphone that picked up a really beautiful sound. A way where it wasn't all hyped up and modern sounding, and it was just kind of like, I wanted people to feel like they were sitting 5 feet in front of me rather than having their brains blown out by technique.
Yep. There are, I think, two people out there that we should also acknowledge who are keeping guitar music alive. One is Ry Cooter. Of course, Ry has just committed himself wholly, fully to that.
Yeah.
And the other is Harry Manx.
Yeah.
And by the way, did you hear that Harry got his guitar back?
I sure did. Yeah, that was a big big item floating around the internet lately. I was following it a little bit because I can imagine how traumatic that would be to lose an instrument.
We had him on the show last week. The Chicago police came through, and Harry got to fly to Chicago, grabbed the guitar, and flew directly to the Dream Cafe in Penticton and played it.
Nice. So that must have felt good.
Now I'm speaking with Steve Dawson, and of course we're talking music with Steve because he's a producer and he's a writer, a sometimes singer, and a great guitar player. And he has a new album called Rattlesnake Cage that's just about to come out, and it's all instrumental music. And you're playing, if I'm not mistaken, and he's coming to Alberta. I'll give you the dates in a moment. You're playing your 6-string and your 12-string, and what else?
This album has got 4 guitars on it. So there's a 6-string guitar that I play a lot of slide on. That's kind of the main one. And then there's a 12-string on 3 or 4 of the songs. A National Tricone, which is the metal-bodied guitar that I'm sure most people have seen.
Sure.
And then Wyvenborn, which is the Hawaiian guitar that I play on my lap, which has a hollow neck and a really resonant sound. And those are the 4 instruments, and there's no overdubs or anything on this album. It's just one track, me playing one of those guitars per song, and that's it.
When I started to read some of the titles, I thought maybe you'd gone to the opening of an artist gallery, because it sounded like Blind Thomas at the crime scene, the altar at Center Raven, the medicine show comes to Avalon. These are all connected to other times and places and musicians.
A lot of them are, yeah. I mean, you know, the Center Raven is the place where Reverend Gary Davis preached, and he was a big influence on me.
Right.
And Avalon is the city where Mississippi John Hurt is from in right. Mississippi, and he was hanging around the medicine shows and performing at the medicine shows, like the traveling medicine shows. And so that's sort of a reference to him. And
Blind Thomas is Fahey?
Yeah, Blind Thomas was a nom de plume that Fahey recorded under in his really early days. He'd make a John Fahey record, and then he'd make a record by Blind Joe Death or by Blind Thomas, and it was just him, you know, trying to sound like an old dude.
All right, so you have some dates, March the 21st in Calgary Festival Hall, and then March the 22nd in Sherwood Park Festival Place. I understand in the studio, first of all, I love the fact that you used an old rescued microphone and went old school with the recording, but what do you do? How can you set this up in those rooms to bring the fullness, the richness of that sound out to the audience?
Well, I'm kind of taking a plunge, actually, because, you know, I've been playing acoustic music for years, but I always use a pickup in my guitar, and you know that makes it pretty easy to amplify it. But also at that point, it basically becomes an electric instrument. So what I've done is I've thrown all that stuff out, and I'm traveling with an old microphone, and I'm going to stick it in front of me, and I'm going to hope for the best. I honestly don't know how it's going to work because I've never done it before. But I'm not going to have any effects. I'm not going to have any patch cords or anything. I'm just going to stick a microphone in a room and stand in front of it.
Wow, old school, old school.
But you know, at the same time, there's a lot of people, you know, in the Americana genre that are doing that these days, and it sounds fantastic. You know, like when I saw when I first moved down here, I saw the Milk Carton Kids playing at the Ryman. And it was just, yeah, two dudes playing into two microphones, and man, did it ever sound good. And I remember thinking in that concert, like, I could totally make what I want to do sound good, and I think the way that I had to present this album, because it is what it is, was really bare and really raw like that into a microphone rather than pickups, just so it's really direct like that. So hopefully it works. I hope it translates.
Well, okay.
I'll find out.
Audience, you're talking to the CKUA audience. You know they love you and they love your music, so they'll be there. They'll be there, and they'll let you know. Now, there's two more things I just want to ask you, and then hopefully we'll find Jim Burns here, because you did produce his new album. I Googled, one of your titles is called J.R. Lockley's Dilemma, and I Googled J.R. Lockley, but all I found was you doing J.R. Lockley's Dilemma. Who is J.R. Lockley?
Well, actually, CKUA people would certainly know indirectly about him, because he was the guy. J.R. Lockley is another religious figure from Florida, and he is the guy that started these praise churches that use the lap steel as the main instrument in their bands, and that is what spawned you know, like the Lee Boys and the you know, all those family bands that have pedal steel and lap steel as the main instrument. Robert Randolph and The Word, all these bands come from Florida, right? Because there's this big scene. They also have them in Nashville, and they had them in Memphis.
But Steve?
This is going back to the 30s.
Oh, okay. But Steve, what is his dilemma?
I don't know what his dilemma is. But I just thought he had to have some sort of strife. So he has a dilemma in the song. But yeah, it was just like musically a little homage to not even really that style of playing guitar, but just that bluesy, gospel-y sound. Like when I wrote the thing, I kind of thought, oh, it's sort of like got a gospel feel to it. So I went back and did a little research and found his name.
There
as
you
a
go.
Sort of an
nice.
Your reference to that style, yeah.
There's a family, is it the Campbells?
The Campbell Brothers, yeah.
Campbell Brothers,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, they were at the Edmonton Folk Fest. I had a chance to interview them. All right, and one other thing I want to ask you about, Nell, and then we'll go find Jim Burns. The title track, Rattlesnake Cage, the cording right at the very front sounds like you're about to slide into Led Zeppelin's Riverside Blues.
Oh, interesting, yeah. Yeah, actually, that's a tuning. I mean, that tuning is very, like, very recognizable in a way, but it's an unusual one. But I think I first heard David Lindley using it, and then I kind of got into it years ago, and it's been a main tuning of mine for years. But yeah, it's got that deep, low, resonant sound, and then the slide guitar really lends itself well to that tuning. So yeah, I mean, I may well have gone into that Traveling Riverside.
Okay, so here we go. As soon as I can find Jim, I'm gonna play you. That's what I'll do. I'll play Rattlesnake Cage. And then we'll come back with Jim Burns and Steve Dawson because you produced that album. So let me play this, and I'll be right back. Okay?
All right,
here we go. Wow, there's 15. Hold on a second.
Hey, JB.
Hey, man, how are you?
Good.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
We are back. This is Mulligan Stew on the CKUA Radio Network, and two of our favorite people have joined me on the line in Nashville. Having just played the title track to his new album, Rattlesnake Cage, we find Steve Dawson. Hello, Steve.
Hello.
And just across the water from me and down the train tracks, Jim Burns has returned home and heard my plaintive plea to join us on this conversation. Hello, JB.
Hey, Terrence. How are you, man?
Very well. I'm thrilled to announce that we're way ahead. As a matter of fact, Steve, you said just as we were going into that last track that if we play, and we intend to play, a track from St. Louis Times, the new Jim Burns album, that'll be the first time it's been played.
Yeah, we have not shared this with any human beings yet. So it's our honor to fork it over to CKUA first.
Thank you very much. Jim, this is what album? Are you keeping count? How many albums now?
Well, let's see, with Steve, this is, what is it, six that we've done together, Steve?
Yeah.
Okay, and so then, six with Steve, and then I had like three before that, so we're into 9 or 10 territory, somewhere in there, yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can do an even dozen soon. St. Louis Times, if anybody has ever followed your career or seen you live and heard you talk between your songs, you talk about St. Louis a lot because it had a profound influence on you and sure. and your music. Is this just a sort of a nod to that strength?
Well, exactly. I mean, it's where I was born and raised and where I first had, you know, my really first encounter with the blues. It wasn't walking through the woods. It was walking down the street, you know. And it was walking down my street. And I had an incredible musical education, which is, and at the time I didn't, I don't take it for granted now, but at the time it was just part of the atmosphere and what was going on in St. Louis. There's a tremendous musical heritage there, and people always go on and on about Chicago and Memphis and New Orleans when they're talking about the blues, but at certain times in its history, St. Louis has been the hub, and so many artists have passed through there. And back in the days of the riverboats, everybody played there, you know, and got their start then. And it's a nod to that. It's to remind people that of the fantastic musical heritage that we have there. And so we put together a bunch of songs by St. Louis artists or artists who lived in St. Louis for periods of time. Some stuff that I wrote, and obviously since there are time constraints on a recording, there are some glaring admissions of people we didn't get on there. We recorded some stuff that we couldn't put on because we ran out of space. But I think what we did of course, under the tutelage of Mr. Dawson there and with a fine band that we put together, I'm very proud of this stuff. And I'm very happy, you know, as I'm proud of the musical heritage of St. Louis.
I'm going to ask you both the same question. Jim, what makes it work for you and Steve Dawson? And then, Steve, I'll get your answer on that. Jim?
Well, I think that ever since we first encountered, we have a great respect for music from the past and from certain eras, but we also don't like to take a hidebound approach to it. We like to, I don't want to play it like it's, I don't want it to be like museum pieces. I want it to be alive today, right now, and Steve has an understanding of how to do that, how to have that respect, and at the same time make it live right here in the 21st century.
All right, Steve. How about working with Jimmy?
Well, for me, the thing that's really fun as a producer is when we start, when the ideas start flowing for a project, usually out of the gate. I know with this one, like, we kind of toyed with the idea of doing a follow-up to Jim's last record, which was a country album, and doing, like, another full-on country kind of thing. And then, I don't know how it happened, but you know, we've always talked about the St. Louis thing, you know, when we're out on tour or whatever, and listen to music, and, you know, I've heard Jim's crazy stories from growing up there. And so, you know, I thought this would be a great way to explore some of that history. And Jim's really open to stuff. And, you know, I like that process of bouncing ideas off each other. And you know, the initial stage of, like, of throwing tunes back and forth to try and narrow down what we're going to record is really fun, because, like, we kind of discover all this stuff. I think Jim probably turns me onto more stuff than I do to him. But there's all those little chestnuts that we both dig out. Yeah, you know, just the process of working through the, like, learning the tunes and figuring out how to put our own little mark on them, and then the recording process is, you know, Jim's such a great singer that it's really relatively painless once you get the concept down and the sound down and know how you want to approach the recording. So it's a lot of fun. You know, it's obviously worked really well for us.
We're talking to Steve Dawson, who has a new album out called A Rattlesnake Cage, and a couple of dates coming up in Alberta. And Jim Burns, his new album is St. Louis Times. Jim, I see from a note here that Cake Alley is, in fact, a place in mm-hmm. St. Louis. Do all of these songs have connections to St. Louis at one level or another?
Well, every one of them does. You know, the first tune, you know, there's an Albert King. When I first saw Albert King, Albert was living over in East St. Louis, actually in Lovejoy, Illinois, and was working construction, was a heavy equipment operator on construction, and played on weekends. And he lived in East St. Louis for a long time. And then the next tune is a song that I wrote where I refer to being, you know, gal running around across the line in Illinois, because that's what, you know, the Mississippi River separates St. Louis, Missouri from East St. Louis, Illinois. And the east side was where, you know, like, you could get a drink 24 hours a day, whereas the state of Missouri was run by Baptists, and, you know, you couldn't get a drink on Sunday. So it was a lot of stuff went on across the river. Hey, but every one of the tunes is by an artist who lived in St. Louis or has something, you know. And then there's four pieces that I wrote. Well, three pieces and a kind of a spoken monologue that I do about St. Louis, and so, yeah, the whole thing, absolutely everything on it relates directly to the city of St. Louis and to my experience in St. Louis, you know. And we were lucky enough to get my good friend John Hammond, who we all know, to record with us. He happened to be in town. It synced up, and he played harp on a couple of tunes, and he played great on that Cake Alley tune. He plays fantastic. National Steel, and we trade verses on a song called "The Dutch Yes Yes Yes" by Stump Johnson, which was originally recorded in 1929. It was kind of a tune that came out of the brothels. But the thing that's my connection with that is I knew Stump Johnson, and I did from the time I was a little kid, but really didn't realize that he was a piano player. He worked with my father at the City Hall for over 20 years, and I met him when I was maybe 8 or 9 years old. When I was in high school, I had a copy of a book by Paul Oliver, The Story of the Blues, and there was a picture of Stump sitting there on his porch in North St. Louis, not far from where we lived. And my dad said, "Hey, man, that's Stump Johnson. You know him. He works with me down at City Hall." And so I'm really connected to the music on this thing.
I love that story, too, about you seeing Albert King playing in a bowling alley at some kid's birthday party or something.
Oh, yeah, no,
right?
That was the first time I ever saw Albert play. Was at the United Auto Workers Union Hall, and it was the Five Aces Social Club putting on a birthday party for some guy. It was there. And that's, you know, that's the first time I ever saw Albert King play. I mean, I had heard, you know, we knew he was around, and he had some stuff out in the late 50s and early 60s on Bobbin Records. And then, in fact, the tune that we do on here is from one of those Bobbin sides in, like, 1960. But he was in the first time, you know, I was still in high school, but we heard, "Hey, man, that guy Albert King, we heard his record." And this was before, of course, he went down to Memphis and signed that deal with Stax, which made him a worldwide star. But before that, he was just another working stiff in St. Louis.
See, you're not gonna get that kind of musical experience at Chuck E. Cheese in the stadium.
No, not so much. No,
not so much.
Not so much.
So
maybe Chuck E. Cheese in St. Louis.
Yeah, man. Steve Dawson has Rattlesnake Cage, and Jim Burns has St. Louis Times. It's a great time if you're a music fan for both of these gents. Now, I know, Steve, you're doing March 21st in Calgary at Festival Hall and the 22nd at Sherwood Park Festival Place. Jim, when might you shake yourself free from the rest of your life to go out and tour this music?
Well, we're going to do, I've got a tour at the end of March. I'm going over to Holland for about 10 shows. And then we're back, and I've got some shows around here in B.C. But I know we're going to be, I think Steve and I are doing a thing together at the Edmonton Blues Festival in August. I think we're both on that thing together.
The other thing that we just have brewing too that hasn't totally been announced yet, but and it's not coming up right away, but in November we're going to do this thing called the Black Hen Traveling Roadshow Review that's going to come through Calgary and Edmonton, and it's going to be pretty much what you hear on Jim's record, which is the house band, which is me and my crew that I've been working with for years, and Jim will be featured, and we'll be bringing through Big Dave McLean as well, and a great singer named Colleen Renison, who's got a band called No Sinner that people would probably know. And so we're going to come through with that whole crew and do shows across Western Canada, and that's in November, so that'll be really cool, too.
In November?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a long way down the road. Look at that.
Well, yeah, but, you know.
Well, okay. All right. You guys actually want to get your game together. Okay, you go right ahead. I just want to tease people a bit because we are going to just spread the word about St. Louis Times, Jim Burns. Colin James is in there playing acoustic
right.
solo.
That's right. That's a Little Milton tune.
Yep.
Little Milton was another guy who lived in East St. Louis.
They were all there.
Around.
And Colleen Renison, absolutely just whales. She's from No Sinner, of course. And you're doing a track. I'm going to finish actually with Miss Me, the old Fontella Bass, Bobby McClure song.
Fontella Bass and Bobby McClure.
Fontella Bass, yeah.
Rescue me. Well, boys, this is very cool. Black Hand Music, they got to be very happy there. They have two great albums to work this year. Steve Dawson's Rattlesnake Cage and Jim Burns' St. Louis Times. It is a beautiful thing that you do together.
Yeah, it
Thank
sure
you.
Is. Thank you.
The odd couple of music.
we like it that way.
We'll see you down the road. Don't go away. I'm just going to sign this off. Steve Dawson, have a good time in Nashville, and we'll see you in Edmonton and Calgary. And Jim Burns.
Thank you.
Jim Burns, can't wait to see you, friend.
There may be some stuff that we're negotiating, but I know I'm going to be out in Edmonton in August with Steve.
Okay.
But we may have something before. Meanwhile, you can listen to the record.
Have a great year, boys. Have a great year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Hold on a second. Okay, now hold on. Is there anything? Just a word. Did I hear you guys have a conversation about Colleen Renison, that you're working on something, Steve?
Yeah.
I've got a record in the can that's coming out in June, and I'll send you that one as well.
Wow, she's got a great set of pipes. She's an amazing voice.
She's a killer, man, yeah.
No question about it, yeah. It's funny, it was my daughter Kate that first turned me on to her. She said she was down at Gilt & Company down in Gastown. She came home one night and she said, "Dad, you got to hear this girl. She has great taste like I do, my daughter does, you know." And she doesn't say that about anybody. She's very critical of everything. And so I did, and we've been working together and doing stuff ever since. And then she did this album with Steve. So what I've heard is just fantastic.
Should have the master copy actually by tomorrow. So I'll send you a copy of that.
So is it a solo Colleen or is it a No Sinner?
No, it's solo Colleen.
Okay, cool.